Welcome to the Dr. April Jasper Show, relevant conversations for business owners of today. We are grateful to have Ocusoft as a sponsor of our show. Since 1986, Ocusoft has served the community with a unique selection of proprietary brands, from dry eye care and protection with Retain line of artificial tears to eyelid hygiene with Ocusoft Lid Scrub Eyelid Cleansers essential for maintaining healthy eyes. Zoria Skincare from Ocusoft offers revolutionary products for people with sensitive skin and eyes. Thank you to Ocusoft for being the number one doctor-recommended brand of eyelid cleansers and providing patients and doctors with products and supplies to continue to keep our eyes healthy. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. April Jasper here with Professor Rihanna Mulcahy. Did I say it right?
You did, April. Well
I
done.
Love it.
Well done.
Well, before anything else happens, I just have to say thank you. But then here's the deal. She's here with me because she had some amazing information to give us this week at Bond, but she also has an announcement. What's your announcement about this week, Rihanna?
Oh, well, a little unrelated, but my son, George Lyons, has just released his first single on Spotify called Lola. So as I was speaking to April, I said, well, now, April, if you could also talk about my son's song, somewhat unrelated to
Absolutely.
The overall topic.
But that's the thing. It's all about family, don't you agree?
Oh, completely. So important.
That's why we do this. You do the research and I see the patients so that we can bring information to them so we can make their lives better.
That's it. And George will do the music in the background.
Yes. Thank you, George.
We have the whole picture.
So before we get started, there are a lot of our listeners that heard and saw you, let's see, almost 3 years ago now, I think, at Bond in Cambridge. So they got to hear a little bit about your research then. So this is a big welcome back for me and you, because we're both here again at
Absolutely.
Bond
in
Boston.
3 years, it must be said.
I can't even believe it.
I know.
Well, in a way, I'm kind of glad it was about this time because now you've got new data for us, new information, new research, mm-hmm. in addition to your other job. So let's start there. What are you doing these days, Rihanna?
Okay, so my job is predominantly clinical. So I'm a clinician in University Hospital Waterford, but I also am the clinical director for the medical directorate. So that would be overall the medical subspecialties within the hospital.
Wow.
And I'm dean for the College of Surgeons. So I'm over undergraduate teaching for College of Surgeon students. And then the lovely additional part is I do some research.
Wow.
With John Nolan and my own, you know, students who are just fantastic.
So when people think I'm doing a lot of stuff, next time they say that, I'll say, you should talk to my friend.
Multitasking is good for your brain. That's what they keep telling us. So I should be good on that particular front.
Okay.
But God knows about all the others. God knows about all the others.
All right. Well, let's jump into it. We mentioned brain. That's what we're here to talk about. Mm-hmm. So here's the title of your presentation. So everybody knows, Carotenoids and Omega-3 Fatty Acids in Neurodegenerative Diseases. So give me a kind of a summary. It's kind of hard in just a short time, but what was this all about? What was the reason, really? There's always a reason that you launch into a focus, an area of focus.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So as you all know, we're living longer. And because we're living longer, we have a lot more age-related diseases. And most age-related diseases of all sorts are due to degeneration of the cells of that system. So we also have a huge increase in neurodegenerative diseases, which is where the cells of the brain start to degenerate and don't work in the same way. So the emphasis of my talk 3 years ago was on Alzheimer's disease.
Yep.
But this year we broadened the scope to look at other common neurodegenerative diseases. And I suppose the second most common one is Parkinson's disease. And really, you know, if we look at this huge global aging, which is a massive success, what we now need to do is to try and really reduce the disability at the end of life. So you want to make people live as long as possible, but as well as possible. So that really is addressing the modifiable risk factors. And one of the things that we know from so much international and national and our own evidence is that nutrition must be a global priority because there is evidence out there that nutrition and dietary patterns reduce neurodegenerative diseases. And we also have very specific evidence now about micronutrients and their importance in neurodegenerative diseases. So it's a broader talk this year, but it's all pointing towards the same thing, which really we should know, but it's, you know, it's difficult in today's modern era to be really aware of nutrition and its importance. So that's why this type of conference, BON, is just so important.
I love it. So let's go back to these. Well, you mentioned Alzheimer's. We mentioned Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. What are the other two of the four?
So I mean, there are so many neurodegenerative diseases. In my talk yesterday, I also spoke about frailty. Now, frailty is a lack of physiological reserve across many systems, including the brain. And it's where really your ability to deal with additional physiological stresses, and by that I mean maybe an infection, a chest infection, or a fall, or a surgery, that your reserve to deal with these additional stresses becomes very impaired. And therefore, what should be maybe a simple infection to treat ends up with very adverse outcomes. And it may have adverse outcomes on memory and mobility and all of that. So when I'm talking about neurodegenerative diseases, I tend to add in frailty, because frailty can occur independently, but it can occur in coexistence with these diseases, and obviously has a huge impact overall.
And as far as frailty, some of the things you said that, well, honestly, I didn't have much knowledge on this to begin with, so everything you said was really new to me, but you talked about looking beyond what you see. Is that the phrase you used?
So there are two, I suppose there are different ways of assessing frailty. There's the phenotypic model, which is how somebody looks. So you may look at somebody and based on how they're walking and looking, etc., you may decide, well, this person looks frail. But then there's also the cumulative body of index for frailty assessment. And that means, how many comorbidities do you have? What else is going on? And so you might look perfectly well, but in fact, you have underlying heart failure, underlying memory problems, underlying kidney problems, but the external looks good. So it's really looking at the big picture. And the thing about frailty is that up to a quarter of community-dwelling older adults have frailty. So it's not an uncommon condition. And yet there are modifiable risk factors. And again, back to the importance of nutrition and identifying frailty. So all pointing really in the same direction.
And then the fourth one?
Well, the fourth one I talked about yesterday, because it happens so often with frailty, is sarcopenia. So sarcopenia is where you really have a loss of muscle mass, which again, the main modifiable risk factors for that are nutrition. Back to nutrition and exercise. And it was back to the same type of picture, that you could look at two people and they may appear to be externally, or their BMI may be the same. However, when you actually do more detailed assessments, their muscles are weak. They're therefore at increased risk of falls. They're increased risk of other increased risk of other disabilities. And again, that's of huge importance in degenerative diseases.
Are you looking for a nutritional supplement to help with your day-to-day vision needs? Look no further than MacuHealth. Recommended by doctors worldwide, MacuHealth offers a full line of products designed to support your vision and eye health. Available through eye care professionals on Amazon.com and directly on our website at MacuHealth.com. And here's the best part. Use the code OME24 when ordering direct from MacuHealth for special discounts. MacuHealth, nutrition you can see.
So one of the things you did that was exceptional yesterday, and I haven't told her this yet, so I'm telling her now, but I thought was amazing, Rihanna, was that you painted a picture for us. And one of the ways you did that was that you used people that we know in maybe celebrities or that are out there and talking about their conditions to help us kind of think about it. So let's go to Alzheimer's. Remind us again, what is Alzheimer's? How common is it? And who is someone that we can think of that would remind us of it? Maybe a movie that's out, something like that.
Oh, absolutely. So Alzheimer's is a progressive neurodegenerative condition, and it's characterized, you know, there are pathological changes in the brain, but what does it actually mean for the person? They have difficulties with their mood, behavior, activities of daily living. And we often describe what's called the four A's, where they can have difficulty saying what they want to say, they can have difficulty with their memory, they can have difficulty with their coordination and managing normal everyday activities, and then difficulties recognizing people. And I often do ask people to just stop and think for a minute, how would you feel if all of these tasks, which are really automatic for you, become difficult? So getting dressed, doing your grocery shopping, recognizing your loved ones, you know, remembering what you did yesterday. And an uncertainty really sort of comes into everything that you do, which is really challenging, because you will also have moments of huge insight when you know actually what happened? You know, I've forgotten this. And there are, there are just beautiful movies out there. The one I talked about yesterday is The Father, with Anthony Hopkins and Olivia Colman. And you just look at this man who, in his acting of the person with Alzheimer's disease, he invokes such emotion because he takes you through the transition of mild to moderate to severe Alzheimer's disease. And that whole, you know, I think what he got across so well, and he actually said it in the movie, you know, I am an intelligent man. So the big thing about Alzheimer's disease is it's not a loss of intelligence. Your intelligence is just the same, but it's a loss of memory. But the other thing that movie really beautifully displays is the impact on loved ones. So his daughter, played by Olivia Colman, again goes through all of those emotions, from absolute love being the central one to frustration, to anger, to what's going on here. And, you know, for people who are out there, I think you can feel very isolated. You know, if you have a condition like this, you just think, is this me, and am I being difficult, and am I whatever? And again, that's where, you know, famous people who have Alzheimer's disease who come out and talk about it. Yep. And, you know, it's isolating. So if you know, I'm not the only one. Bruce Willis and his family have been wonderful, really, at coming out and talking about the challenges of his type of dementia, which is frontotemporal dementia. So he has prominent word-finding difficulties. And then Robin Williams, who had Lewy body dementia. But it's important that we understand, you know, you're not alone out there. This is not your fault. This is not a loss of intelligence. And what can we do about it? So to increase the understanding is so important. And there was a second part to your question, which I've now forgotten.
It's okay. That was amazing. And I think this is so important, because whether you are 20 years old right now, or you're 55 years old, or you're 65, you either know someone who's right now going through this. How common is Alzheimer's, dementia? What is the prevalence, honestly?
So the prevalence, for a start, it's increasing exponentially. We have a new case of dementia diagnosed every 3 seconds. We have the number of people with the condition is doubling every 20 years. Wow. And that's, you know, we're living longer. But because we're living longer, these conditions that weren't maybe as much of a common occurrence a number of years ago are now very, very common. So we have this increasing problem with neurodegeneration. And therefore, globally, we have to look at the bigger picture. How can we delay onset? How can we reduce the symptoms? How can we inform our younger people and that out there about things that they can now do? But I did, and just to emphasize, I did talk about the emphasis to date has been on pharmacological or drug intervention, whatever. And that is very important. You know, if I have a condition, I'd like to know that if there was something out there, that's great. But the emphasis mustn't be just drugs. It must be, okay, let's get the message out there about nutrition. Let's get the message out there about the type of nutrition, the type of things that you can do to maybe prevent it altogether and not go there, or maybe to actually just delay the onset of symptoms.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about treatment in a moment. And the really amazing thing that I, again, brought from your research is that Alzheimer's, and then we're talking about Parkinson's, the things you need to do for one are the same things you need to do for the other as far as nutrition. Mm-hmm. So Parkinson's, talk to us about that.
So Parkinson's disease is now the second most common neurodegenerative disease. And it's also progressive, and it's characterized a little bit differently. So it's really due to a degeneration of the dopaminergic neurons in the brain. And you have a reduction of a movement chemical called dopamine. So you've very much a reduction of one chemical, but as a result, if you could imagine that old-fashioned shop weighing scales, as a result, you have a reduction of one chemical, but an imbalance of others. Therefore, you can present with motor symptoms, and they're the classical ones that people talk about, you know, where you've a slowness of movement or a shuffling gait or a reduction in your facial expression. But then there's also rigidity, where your muscles just feel very heavy and tense, and then you have a tremor. The important thing with Parkinson's disease from that point of view is power is normal, but you have a reduction of the chemical that therefore causes not enough movement or too much movement. But then I also talked about the non-motor symptoms. So non-motor symptoms are things like depression, dementia, anxiety, lack of smell, constipation. And what we know is the non-motor symptoms often precede the motor symptoms by a number of years. Wow. And once you present with motor symptoms, about 80% of your chemical has already gone down. So one of the things I was saying yesterday, it's a little bit like with Alzheimer's disease, you can have protein changes in your CSF long before you present with memory problems. Similarly, with Parkinson's disease, you'll have a reduction in your neurochemical long before the motor symptoms. So it's coming back to bringing the whole thinking back to primary prevention. You know, what can we do to reduce the risk of getting things? And I talked again about somebody famous, Chris Hemsworth, who was just, he's really been an amazing advocate for primary prevention. So he's talking about he found that he was homozygous for APOE4, which significantly increases the risk of Alzheimer's disease from a genetic point of view. But he's addressing all of those dietary factors, lifestyle modifications, nutrition, and highlighting that, look, you know, don't just do nothing. Actually really address the modifiable risk factors. And people like him should be very proud, I think, that he goes out to put his own personal story out there, which is challenging because it's your story.
Right.
But if you're willing to share it, you can have such an impact on people around you, which is great.
That's right. What about the blue zones? I love reading about it, hearing people talk about it. So when you brought that up, I just wanted to stand up and cheer. So tell me more about the blue zones.
These wonderful blue zones. So blue zones are areas where we talk about that has reduced prevalence of everything. So they have less dementia, less Parkinson's disease, less frailty, less many, many conditions. And the whole thing is why. So is it just that they're in beautiful parts of the world like Costa Rica? But really what it is they have a whole approach to nutrition, exercise and socialization that is a winning combination. And the dietary patterns are similar in all of these places, where it's rich in vegetables and nuts and fish, and less so in things like meat and processed foods. So this whole idea, and they call it that, they call it Quisumen. I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly. I dare to think of what it should be pronounced. But, you know, this idea that nutrition is food. So, you know, they're getting it right and have been getting it right for a long time. But what I find fascinating is if when people leave their native blue zone and move to somewhere where the approach to diet and exercise isn't as good, they can then start developing all the same prevalence of these conditions as everybody else, or incidence of these conditions. So, you know, it's as they say, it's not that I'm not anti-treats and anti, I'm absolutely not, but your overall approach to diet and nutrition should be good the majority of the time, and then have a treat.
And not everybody eats right. We get that. And there's challenges with food, right? Mm-hmm. Tell us about that.
So one of the big challenges with food is that it's very difficult to advise somebody specifically on the dietary pattern to which they should adhere to optimize their health. So we do know broadly a diet rich in vegetables, a diet, and we had a wonderful talk at Bonnie yesterday talking about the planetary diet, but again, the dietary patterns that optimize health. But if I'm talking to an older person with Alzheimer's disease or whatever, it's very difficult to say, well, you take this many grams of broccoli and you take this many grams of something else. So that can be challenging. But as well as that, with devolution and mass production of food, the dietary value of food is significantly changed. So that's not consistent. So there is a challenge for us because we have to be more specific on what type of diet. And the diet that's maybe good for you may not be good for the next person. So I think an individualized approach, and of course that takes resources and it takes belief that nutrition is a key modifiable risk factor. But I do believe that if we're going to give advice on diet, we can't just give the, well, off you go, eat well, and hopefully you'll be grand. We must be more specific on types of nutrients and how you'll get them in. So for Alzheimer's disease can very much become the tea and bread, tea and toast type of condition, because that's what's easy. You know, that's what people can make that.
Right.
So they're not really going out and buying truckloads of vegetables and whatever. So in that situation, we may have to consider, well, how are we going to give them and optimize their nutrition or give them their micronutrients? And that may be dietary supplementation. So we talked yesterday about the supplement that we used in our own particular Remind study, which is the Remind supplement. And that has carotenoids, fish oils and vitamin E in it. So we know that the amount we used in the study are given by that particular supplement.
I think that's what everybody's listening and saying. Okay, so you told me all the bad things, all the things that are coming down the road because I likely didn't eat right for many years. Mm-hmm. So the question they have, and I want for you to answer, because you did when you did your presentation yesterday, it's not too late. Mm-hmm. However, earlier is better to intervene, correct?
Correct.
And then can something be done? So talk, let's
okay.
Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, frailty, all of the things you mentioned, it's not a death sentence, meaning it doesn't mean that this is going to happen to you and I, and there's nothing we can do about it. There are things we can do today. Mm-hmm. So what supplements, and I think you've convinced me that the likelihood of me eating perfectly mm-hmm. is not 100%. Mm-hmm. And so can I hedge my bets, as we say in America, or can I do something to ensure that I will at least have some of those nutrients coming into my body that I need?
Mm-hmm. So let's just look at the evidence. So we know that carotenoids are present in the brain, particularly xanthophyll carotenoids, and the brain is rich in omega-3 fatty acids. And they're there for a reason. We also know in so much of our work now that carotenoids are low in conditions like Alzheimer's disease and frailty. So, you know, if they're low and you have the condition, then to try and replace these carotenoids to see is there a beneficial outcome. So we did a study called REMIND where we did give carotenoids and fish oils to people with Alzheimer's disease, and we found that we got improvements in their mood and behavior over time. This was a small exploratory study, but the results were very definite. We also know in frail patients, if you optimize their nutrition combined with exercise, you reduce their frailty. So, you know, looking at the evidence, or age-related macular degeneration, that's another condition where we know that your carotenoids are low, and by replacing your carotenoids, you can optimize your contrast sensitivity in other parts of your vision. So therefore, how do we do that? Good diet is always part one, but in that situation, you would also suggest supplementation. So supplementation with a certified supplement, and I can't say that enough, walking into a health food store is bewildering because there's 100 different types of the same thing. But if you see that it's a certified, which means what's in the bottle is in the bottle, and you are going to get a replacement of adequate doses of xanthophyll carotenoids with fish oils and omega-3 fatty acids, such as REMIND, which is the one. And the reason I talk about REMIND is that's the particular supplement that we used in our research,
right?
And worked.
And we have similar products here, so that's not impossible for us to have. We have Macu Health and we have Omegas. So the vitamin E piece is the only piece that's missing if we're using both of those. Mm-hmm. But that's something that's so important for us to kind of keep in mind. And Rihanna, I don't know how you feel about this. So I'll tell you what I do in clinical practice. When patients come in, I not only talk about the eye, I tell them this is important for us to help to prevent disease. And that's something nobody's talked about in the mm-hmm. past. But then I go ahead and talk to them about how it has other beneficial effects as well. Mm-hmm. So for an eye doctor to do that, you think that's okay?
100%. So it has other beneficial effects. We 100% know that. And it doesn't have a downside. That's the other thing, is that, you know, if you're saying to somebody, well, if you take this drug, it will help, but it's going to cause A, B, C, and D, because every drug has a side effect. But carotenoids and fish oils do not have a downside. So I think there are biologically plausible good reasons for why they work, and why they work across a number of systems. And I talked about neurodegeneration yesterday. I am sure if we looked at this across other degenerative conditions, heart disease, you name it really, but the research right. needs to be done. But I am very convinced optimizing nutrition is key.
I love it. Well, you guys, it's amazing to talk to brilliant people like Rihanna. I'm just thrilled that we've had you here. Final words, tell our listeners. So most of our listeners and viewers, they're eye doctors, but they're also patients. And so we have people from all over the world that listen. What would you like, besides tell them to listen to what music?
Lola by George Lyons. I think George Lyons would be mortified at his mother talking about this.
That's the best part.
Which is just fantastic. How did you get to that, Mom? But anyway, you know, what I would say is just remember, our health is in our hands. And that's really that's important. Good. Your health is in your hands and you can do something about it. And is it easy to alter your dietary, whatever? Maybe not, but the outcome is worthwhile. But also remember, for the person with Alzheimer's, my own personal, you know, thing is that that person is there. They want you to help them. They want you to do things. So keep going. Don't give up and optimize your nutrition.
Thank you. Thank you, Professor Rihanna. I appreciate you so much.
Not at all. Not at all. Thank you.